This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
1822 on Power Up Business. We move on now to a conversation with the National Union of Metal Workers of South Africa. That's NUMSA. Now, they've gone on to tell their members in the steel sector to be ready for any eventuality, as it is locked in wage talks with employers in the bargaining council. We actually would have spoken, I think, to CIFSA a few weeks ago, where they anticipated going into these negotiations and actually were feeling rather upbeat about them. But of course, it is always great to speak to the unions, because they will also tell us exactly what workers are thinking and feeling on the ground. And Phakamile Hlubi-Majola, who's spokesperson for the union, joins us now. Phakamile, always a pleasure. Good evening.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners. Thank you for having me on the show.
Brilliant, Phakamile. Like I would have said in my intro, we spoke to the sector a while ago and they were upbeat about these negotiations. Keen to get your thoughts on how they've gone thus far.
Well, we can definitely say that we remain optimistic that we will find each other. The first round of wage talks that took place on the 11th of April was pretty cordial. We were engaging each other when we were presenting our demands for the first day. So we would say overall, we think that the attitude of the employers is to engage. The only exception that we would say we have, or that we must flag, is the attitude of employer associations, the National Employer Association of South Africa, NIASA, and the South African Engineers and Founders Association, SAIFA. We were quite disturbed by their attitude to the wage talks. Whilst all other employers were sort of engaging on the demands that unions were making, like NUMSA made demands in relation to the increases that it was tabling, these two employer associations actually made a proposal where they want to basically redo the entire bargaining system. They want us to basically reduce the wage where it, currently it's set at 59.10 rand. That's the lowest. They want us to start negotiations with an agreement that workers will receive 27 rand. Now, when you approach negotiations with that type of attitude, where you're saying that workers must be willing to, you know, reverse 30 years of hard-won gains through many years of negotiation, then you are basically trying to scupper wage talks. You're basically trying to provoke a strike. And this is why we hope that if we go into the next talks, that they will shift their attitude, because we are certainly not out to try and provoke a strike.
That last steel sector strike was absolutely, crippling the last time we saw it happen. Apparently, I'm very keen to actually get a bit of insights on exactly what you have tabled. What are you asking the employer for at this point?
So our demands are that we extend the agreement and that we improve it by increasing it by 1% for the first year. So in other words, we're demanding a 7% increase in the first year and 6% for the second year and 6% for the third year. We are also demanding that employers must pay these increases on the actual rates of pay, meaning pay the increases based on what workers are actually earning and not on what the minimum rate is in the grade. And one of the things we've also demanded is that the industry must ring fence not less than 2 billion rand, which must be used to ensure that workers are able to access affordable housing. And this is because most of our members are at the point where they earn too much to qualify for RDP, but they earn too little for a home loan from a bank. And we think that this is the least that the industry can do, given that in its heyday, when it was performing very well, when profits were rolling in, CEOs did extremely well. But workers in the sector, unfortunately, continue to be denied decent housing.
I'm actually glad you touched on that, Phakamile, because I thought in my mind a big argument for the sector is going to be that they've been in this steady, place of deindustrialization, and that, the profits are not looking good. ArcelorMittal threatening, to close down some of its plants. I'm keen to get your thoughts on that, the state of the sector, and how you're taking stock of it as mine.
Well, I think this is why we say our demands are reasonable, because if you look at what we've tabled, we're not demanding a double-digit increase. I think you've You know that in the past we've done that. We've said we're actually asking for 1% more than what we received in the last agreement. The difference being that we want, as I said, that these increases must be based on the actual rates of pay of what workers are actually earning. And we've done that knowing that we have to be cognizant of what's happening in the steel sector and the pressures on companies, particularly the small, medium companies. They really are struggling. And this is primarily also because of the very serious problems that we've had when it comes to energy security and electricity. Load shedding has really had a devastating impact on many companies. We can say this because we've had to deal with many, many job cuts as a result of that. But having said that, we also believe that the industry has a responsibility to give back to workers. And it would be completely unfair to go into the next phase without any kind of increase, particularly because it's actually workers and their families who are struggling the most. So we think that we're being very fair and reasonable in asking for a 1%, for 7% in the first year and 6% in the second and third year. We think that we are actually demonstrating how we are cognizant of the struggles of business, but we are also have to be mindful of workers and their families who right now are in serious distress and are seriously economically stressed because of the poor, poor performance of the economy.
Well, that's it, Pamela. What are our timelines looking like for us to get back to the negotiating table and possibly have an outcome?
So the timelines that we're looking at, we have two more rounds of negotiations. There's another round that's happening this week on the 24th. And then there will be another round early in May. That's three rounds. Now, we are hoping to settle within these rounds. So we really are calling on employers to come to the table to meet us halfway. And one of the strong messages that I think it's important for us to sort of send out there as I wrap up is the fact that for those of you who are going to complain, as I know some of you will, and call into the show and say NUMSA is being unreasonable with its demands again, I want you to think about the fact that if you are going to, if collectively as a society, we think it's going to be okay to continue to pay workers low wages. And then we're shocked when the economy doesn't perform well. You know, I've just got a news flash for you. In order for you to grow the economy, you need workers who are earning so that they can spend on the economy in a way that will boost economic growth. They need to be able to participate meaningfully in the economy, and they cannot do so on poverty wages. So it's actually to all our benefits if this happens, if the national income goes up. But also, I would like to challenge those who have a problem with NUMSA's wage demands to ask themselves the question whether they had a problem with the fact that Standard Bank CEOs rewarded themselves with over 400 million rand in bonuses. You never hear any word or any real critique about the really insane salaries that CEOs earn in comparison to ordinary workers. And yet we all know that it's ordinary workers that are actually responsible through their labor for the good performances of all of these companies. At what point do they get rewarded for being the creators of wealth?
Pamela, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. And we'll be in touch. That was Pamela Hlubi Majola. She is spokesperson for NUMSA.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.